In Proverbs chapter 9, let's read verses 13 through 18 tonight. So we'll begin at verse 13. I'll read verse 13. If you would please join me at verse 14 and then every other verse down through the end of chapter 9 here tonight. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Father, I pray tonight again you bless your word as it's taught and preached, and meet with us, please. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Solomon became king after David's death. And so it says here in 1 Kings 2:46, it says, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. So we understand that. And God had given Solomon a choice of what he would ask for. I think all of us, if not most of us, are familiar with that particular story in the Bible. And because of the greatness of the task that was before him, Solomon, as you know, he chose wisdom and he chose understanding. He could have had anything that he wanted, but he said, these people are so great. I need wisdom and I need understanding. Any request, I believe, according to Scripture, any request would have been pleasing to the Lord because he gave him a choice. He didn't say, you can't choose riches. He didn't say that. He said, you choose whatever you want. And of course, he chose wisdom. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 3 and verse 10, it says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. So he asked for this wonderful wisdom, and God gave him great wisdom and a big heart full of understanding. It's just one of the great stories in the Bible. If you're not familiar with it, I'd encourage you to go back and read it and just see what Solomon said to the Lord and what the Lord said back to him. But not unlike us, Rehoboam, his son, was going to be faced with many decisions for the rest of his life. These are not just stories. These are pertinent to us. Rehoboam was going to be king, and he was going to face many things where he had to make decisions. Solomon wanted him to have wisdom. He wanted him to have understanding. Too bad he didn't follow that advice. All throughout Proverbs, we find Solomon helping his son to make the right choice. And that's what a father is supposed to do. Now, the son does not always agree with the father, but that does not negate the father's responsibility to encourage that son or that daughter to make a right decision. You don't stop something. I learned a lesson one time many years ago when we were living in Minnesota, and I had planned a youth activity. And the pastor had all of us go to Perkins for breakfast one morning. I remember what I had. Why do you remember what you had? Because I remember what was said to me. Hard to separate the two. And I had just canceled a big youth activity because of a lack of participation. And I remember that as we're going around the room with the staff and he's asking questions and I mentioned that, my pastor, who's now in heaven, he stood there and he did what he normally does. He would stick his tongue in his cheek when he was about to say something. And that morning, he stuck his tongue in his cheek and he looked straight at me. And he said, Pastor Dan, yes, sir, we don't ever cancel an activity for lack of participation. I said, yes, sir. Shortly after that, we'd planned a bike hike. And on that day, it rained pitchforks. I mean, cats and dogs. I mean, it was raining so hard. You could hardly see out the windows of the church into the parking lot. The rain was coming down so fast and so hard. And I remember the pastor walked past me. He says, well, Pastor Dan, what are you going to do? And I said, nothing yet. I waited until it was time for the activity, the bike hike, to start. And I canceled it because you couldn't even see across the parking lot. I learned a lesson that day. You've got to make that decision what's right. And just because people disagree with it, and just because a son or a daughter disagree with your advice and your teaching, doesn't mean you stop teaching and you teach it anyway. Why? Because it's right to do, and they need to hear that. Solomon could have had anything that he wanted, but he chose rightly. Now, in this section of Proverbs 9, Solomon compares wisdom and the foolish woman. Now, isn't that an odd thing? Wisdom and understanding with a foolish woman. She may have been a fallen woman. I think we get that probably from the context of what we're going to read tonight. But he makes that comparison, or maybe I should not say comparison, maybe I should say contrast. That would probably be the proper word. So let me give you some observations about this contrast. Number one, if you're taking notes, both wisdom and foolishness invite you into their homes. Let me say it again. Both wisdom and foolishness invite you into their home. Look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 4. It says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him," now look down at verse 16, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in thither," or hither, "and as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him." So you have wisdom talking and a foolish woman talking. What I learned from this is the invitation is to the simple and to those without understanding. This invitation goes to that. Decision always determine your destiny. Let me say it again. That's an important statement. Decisions determine your destiny. And a person either chooses the path of wisdom or he chooses the path of foolishness. And to choose one is to reject the other. And to reject the one is to choose the other. And so we're given a choice. And here we have foolishness and wisdom giving you the same invitation. Come into my house. Come in and see what I have. And the compare or the contrast is given there. One choice is wrong and the other choice is right. And in some cases, the choice is simply between good and best, not always between that which is wrong and that which is right. But it's a matter of making a choice. And the choice you make chooses literally your destiny. And that goes right with the saying that I have said to you through the years. You finish it for me, would you? The right road always leads where? To the right place. And the wrong road always leads where? To the wrong place. And the right road will never take you to the wrong place. And the wrong road will never take you to the right place. You have to get off of one to get on the right one. Same thing's true here. If a person chooses foolishness, it's very interesting. That's a bad choice. If he chooses wisdom and understanding, that's a good choice. In this case, the choice is wrong for you, while the other one is right for you. Let me read those two verses again, verse 4 and verse 16. "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither." So we're talking about a simple individual, somebody that doesn't know a whole lot. He's making a decision. And by the way, a number of passages, even in Proverbs, talk about a simple young man who makes a wrong or a foolish decision, Proverbs chapter 6 in particular. And then the next verse, verse 16, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him." So wisdom's calling out and foolishness is calling out. You got to make a choice. Point number two, both wisdom and foolishness tell you of their benefits. That's interesting, isn't it? Both wisdom and foolishness, both of them, they tell you about their benefits. Look at verses 9, 4 through 6 now. Let me read these to you. It says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." But then there's the wisdom or the invitation of the foolishness. Verse 17, they say, "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." Both are advertising their wares. Both are telling you the benefit, if you want to call them that, of whatever choice you make. And wisdom says there is something for you at her place. And remember, in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is given a personality. And she talks to us all through Proverbs chapter 8. I don't know how much of that you would remember, but that's if you've ever read through the book of Proverbs, you know that in Proverbs chapter 8, she's given a personality. And she tells you, you need to listen to me. And of course, she is right. So wisdom says that there's something for you at her place, while foolishness says exactly the same thing. There is something there for you as well. Which one is the right choice? Well, both of them make their way sound appealing to those who pass by their houses. Let me show you again. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. That's the good advice. But then the foolishness says, stolen waters are sweet, you see. And the bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's interesting. They both tell you what they offer you. And both of them are appealing, you see. I was listening to Jerry Clower this week, one of my favorite comedians. He's been in heaven now for a number of years. And I was listening to him, and he was talking about stealing watermelons. And I guess where he grew up, they stole a lot of watermelons and out of the fields is what they did. And of course, when people down south talk about stealing food out of somebody's patch, they talk about how good and how sweet it is. And Jerry Clower was talking about that. Very interesting that he made that comparison. Well, a stolen watermelon is still a stolen watermelon, you see. And so here she says, stolen waters are sweet. Is that a true statement? Well, water's good. Stolen waters are bad. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Well, yeah, bread fills you. Bread was good for you. But now she said that that bread eaten in secret is pleasant. There's a third aspect to this, and that is this: both wisdom and foolishness have bread and drink for you. Continuing on from that second point, look at verses 5 and 17, if you would please, where wisdom says, come eat of my bread. Now, this is not stolen bread. Wisdom says, you come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. So we have this here, something that wisdom has done. But then look down at verse 17 one more time. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Both offer bread, both offer something to drink. One is right, one is wrong. The choice you make determines your destiny, you see. Wisdom worked hard for what she has to offer, and she offers the very best. Chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, you're there. Wisdom hath builded her house. See the hard work? Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She worked hard for what she offers. This is not stolen. This is nothing done in secret. But then foolishness, on the other hand, offers only stolen water and only bread to eat in secret. Look what it says in verse 17. I know I've read this a few times, but follow along. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. One difference is found in their source. I think this is an interesting contrast that God makes between foolishness and wisdom. He doesn't say one is bad. He simply says one is different. One is hard worked for. One is stolen. But they offer bread, and they offer something to drink. One comes because of hard work. One comes because of preparation. One comes because of planning. It's all there. The other comes because of pretense, the act of pretending, or pretense as it's used, and deceit, the act of deceiving. Did you see that? Bread eaten in secret? We're talking about deception here. So they offer the same thing. They both offer bread. They both offer something to drink. But one you should not choose, because decisions determine your destiny. Another difference is simply this, is in their quality. Wisdom offers the best that she has, and the other only the staples of ill-gotten staples at that. So we have these things that are offered. So he's teaching his boy, you got to learn to make the right decision, because you're going to be faced with making a decision. I've given this illustration before, but it's not to promote me, but it seems to fit here, you see. Many, many years ago, when we were up in Woodland Park, you remember our building up there, across from McDonald's, that old pawn shop now and all that, and we were in that building, and a man came by one day, a Christian man, I assume, and he offered to give us a telephone system in our building. You remember this story? It wasn't having a telephone plugged into the wall. It was a kind of system that you stored in a closet, and they ran wires and cords throughout the entire building. At that time, we had one broken phone that still worked, but the casing was broken. One Princess phone. I think one was turquoise, greenish blue, and the other one was like a burgundy color. And they were broken, but they worked. You could talk to them. You could talk on them. And he offered me, like, do you remember the Merlin systems of telephones? We had one in Missouri. All the offices were all connected through the Merlin system, and they all had one place where everything plugged into it in a storage room. He offered me that system. And I thought, wow, we could use some telephones. We could use that kind of a system, because we had Sunday school classroom downstairs, nursery, and we had an office upstairs and another office upstairs, and that kind of a system would have been really good for us. And he offered it to me free of charge and would install it free of charge. And then he said, just one stipulation. And I said, what's that? He said, I will need you to backdate the receipt to a particular date, so that I can count it on my taxes. I laughed. I looked at him and I laughed. And I said, you know I can't do that. He said, I knew you were going to say that. That made me feel good that he knew I would say that. But I couldn't take that and lie and backdate a receipt. That would have been dishonest on my part. That could have ruined my testimony, first of all, with myself and with the Lord, but it would have ruined my testimony even with him. And I said no. And of course, we never got the system. We had the old broken phones, and that's what we used until we moved down here. Well, could I have had good phones? Yeah, that would have been a good thing. Was it a bad decision to make? Yes, because that decision would have determined some destiny for this preacher. I could have been dishonest, but I wasn't dishonest, and I'm glad that I wasn't. And by the way, you yourself are thankful that I was not dishonest as well. That would have been a terrible testimony to have. And so here we are. I said no, and I'm glad that I did. But what if I would have said yes? I had a man come by. I haven't said this in a long, long time. He wanted to look at our church. He was a CPA, a certified public accountant, graduated from a large Bible college way down south, and he had an accounting degree. And he came in to see me, and he says, I think I can help you with your books. And I said, let me tell you how we do our books. And I showed him the four different ways that we do the books here at Timberline. And I said, and they're open to our people. I said, we don't hide anything here. I said, it's all right there. And his words to me on the way out were these. He said, you know what, Pastor? He said, you're too honest. Too honest? How can a pastor be too honest? A pastor can't be too honest. And a little bit of shadiness is dishonesty. And so he walked out, and I didn't call on him again, of course. And I didn't call on him the first time. He came by and offered his services to our church. But there's a fourth and final thing about this contrast, and that is this. Both wisdom and foolishness have an end for you. And I think this is interesting. Both of them have an end for you. In other words, there's something at the end on the other side of the equal sign. Something that you can touch, you can handle, and it's right there in Scripture. Look at verses 6 and 18. Wisdom speaks and says, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Foolishness says this in verse 18, but he knoweth not the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So both of these choices have an ending. Wisdom says that if you forsake the foolish, you'll live. Does that mean you'll live a long life? Not necessarily, but it's talking about a quality of life that God will give you if you make the right decision. And by the way, what did we learn a long, long time ago as we were maybe growing up? Is that choosing right pays its own reward. Making the right decision pays its own reward. And so it's talking here about a quality of life. And it means it very seriously, forsake the foolish and live, you see, and go in the way of understanding. But foolishness knows her way is to destruction. Look at verse 18 again. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. If you have your Bible there, you can turn here, or you can write a little cross-reference next to chapter 9 and verse 18. You know the verse, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's mentioned twice in Proverbs, almost identical, practically identical wording. When we were in college, they had a campus, they had a main campus, and then there was the one that was called Baptist City. That was the original campus and the original dormitories. And instead of having a dead end sign, they put the end thereof as the way, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. That was their dead end sign. I thought it was pretty creative. And they did that with a number of the signs that were on the property. But you see, the Bible tells us here, it seems right. I mean, what could be wrong with eating bread? What could be wrong with these waters? Well, they were ill-gotten. They were ill-gotten gains. And you choose wrongly, and the Bible says, he knoweth not, the simple individual, knoweth not that the dead are there and her guests are in the depths of hell. And there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is of the ways of death. So Solomon's saying to Rehoboam, son, listen, you can make a right decision and a wrong decision. And remember, both offer you things. But then he tops it off and says, but there is an end to both. One is life. One is a quality of life. One is a blessing. One is blessed of the Lord. And the other one is filled full of death and destruction in your own life. Oh, what's wrong with bread and water? What's wrong with what they had to drink? On both hands, it was the same. But where it came from and the how it was gotten was not good, you see. Perhaps it is at this time that all those old sayings come into play. What old sayings, Pastor? Everything that glitters is not gold. And everything that calls itself Christian is not necessarily so. In my Christian experience, in the years that I've known the Lord as my Savior, and in the ministry serving the Lord full time for all these years, I'm here to tell you, just because it calls itself Christian doesn't mean that it is Christian. And just because it glitters doesn't mean that it is gold. And you have to have discernment to know the difference between the two. Here we have a young man, simple and void of real understanding, and as he walks the pathway of life, he is faced with many decisions. He has to learn the lesson that decisions determine destiny. Decisions determine destiny. Listen, I could take you down the road with many illustrations over the years where individuals have said to me, I wish I would have known that when I was younger. I would have never made the decision that I made. I wouldn't have chosen that road. I would have chosen a different road. I wouldn't have gone that direction. I would have gone this direction. Because decisions determine destiny. A person either chooses the path of wisdom or he chooses the path of foolishness. And the choice he makes will make or break his life. Wisdom and understanding, and I wrote this down so that you would get the gist of it. Wisdom and understanding are the abilities to see the end rather than the beginning of an invitation. Wisdom and understanding give you the ability to see the end. As adults, we say, I've been down that road. Let me tell you what's at the end of it. Been there, done that. All those phrases come from this very thing. Wisdom says, I see the problem at the beginning. And I chose the right direction rather than the wrong one. Both wisdom and foolishness give you an invitation. Both wisdom and foolishness tell you of their benefits. And both wisdom and foolishness have bread and drink for you. Both wisdom and foolishness have an end for you. And they are diametrically different one from the other. So it's a matter of choosing right. Why are there so many foolish decisions today? We see the beginning, but not the end. It takes wisdom to see the end. You remember the old Tootsie Pop commercial with the owl sitting in a tree? And it says, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? And the owl says, one, two, three, crunch, three. His idea was it only takes three because that's as far as he got. Never got to the end of it, you see. So wisdom and understanding allow you to make the decision at the beginning of a bad choice or a good choice. And this is what we, you know, a parent looks at their child and says, oh, let me tell you, that's a wrong decision. That's a bad friend for you to have. That's a wrong direction for you to take. And what will the young person so often say? Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, all my friends are there. And well, you're thinking, well, you make the right decision, you got friends too. When I was in high school, I had to make a decision. And the decision that I had to make was which direction I was going to go. I could go the way that I had trained for, or I could choose a different direction. And I remember one time, it was one of the hardest days of my life. It's been a long, long time since I shared this with you. You'll probably remember it if you remember me saying it. I remember one time I said, Lord, I give my friends to you. Because I've got friends that are going to take me down a drug path, an alcohol path, a tobacco path, a dishonest sitting in physical science one day. One of my friends from my church offered me all the free drugs that I could possibly have. And he said, I can get them for you free of charge. Wrecked his life. I wasn't about to choose that for me. So I sat down with the Lord one day. And I said, Lord, I give you my friends. I said, I need friends that are going to take. And I thought, I'm not going to have any more friends. How many can I have that are going to take me in the right direction? And then the Lord showed me who my real friends were. All of my friends that were going in the same direction. They were not going to try to detour me from the right path. And to this day, I made right choices. And so glad that I did. So here we have this contrast between wisdom and understanding and foolishness. And God uses a foolish woman and wisdom, who's given a female nature, and compares them or contrasts them together. The end of one is life and blessing. The end of the other is death. And that's my Bible study tonight. And perhaps maybe tonight we can see a little bit more clearly what God has for us for making the right kind of decision in our lives.